broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our news and information hour come up. Bauer, I know I'm talking a little fast. We've got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. One of the things that I want to mention to you, wasn't too long ago I said to you, stay tuned for a new way to listen to the Phil Hendry Show. Well, I bet you thought I forgot about that. No, I didn't. That day is fast approaching. As a matter of fact, this week, we're going to unveil philhendryradio.com. So I want you to be on the lookout for that. And I can tell you that it's going to be unveiled very, very shortly. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are online at philhendryshow.com. That is the online home and headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And with a backstage pass, you can watch live video of our show right now. It's Phil TV in HD. It's a gorgeous picture with the roiling Pacific, El Pacifico surf behind me. And we also have our thousands of hours of archived audio. We've got our news feed. We've got our daily podcast. We've got our classic Phil podcast. We have just all kinds of other fun little gizmos and things that are happening over there. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. It's the best, absolutely, without question, hands down, the single best buy in terms of a subscription on the Internet. I don't care what anybody tells you. It is absolutely the single best. Unless, of course, you want to throw your subscription money away on some radio show that gives you 2-minute clips here and a couple of minutes of clips over there and some stupid, firewall for a newspaper that, hey, let's pay for news that we can read tomorrow for free. All right, 877-876-7445. Lloyd Bonafide is going to join us here. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. He is a long-time retired professional man, had a heating and plumbing service for the longest time out in Alhambra, California. He's joining us on our Newsmaker line here this evening to talk about a little 7-year-old boy, your grandson. Today was his birthday, huh, Lloyd?
And that is exactly right, Phil. If you can hear me.
I can hear you fine, Lloyd. How old was... what is your grandson's name?
Yes, sir. My grandson is Ted, and he turned 7 today.
What did you give him for his birthday?
I gave my grandson, I gave him a basketball, and his grandmother and his mother and I, we all went in, we got him some clothes, but I know you're asking me about what I got him.
Yes, I am, sir.
I got my grandson a .22 caliber handgun, a Smith & Wesson .22 caliber handgun, and I've gotten him signed up for the gun safety classes over here at the Corral, which is a shooting range over here. And I can tell you something else, too. You asked me before we went on the air that his mother was not happy with me, and neither is his grandmother.
And what about his father?
This guy that my daughter married, I don't know what his opinion is, but I can imagine that I don't have a very high opinion of him. So,
what would you imagine his opinion is?
Well, I haven't heard from him, so I will tell you that I know he's probably scared of me, but something, maybe he agrees with it, but I don't care. It's my grandson, and I'll tell you this too, Mr. Hendry. We're living in a day and age now where gun safety and gun training can't come too early. Now, that is the absolute truth, and I want to ask you right now, sir, what do you think about it, about me doing that?
I don't know what to think of it. I don't want to give an opinion, and I'll tell you why.
No, you don't get it. What do you think about me giving my grandson a .22 handgun?
I will tell you this, that the mother's opinion is should come first.
You're talking about my daughter.
Yeah, your daughter, his mother, her opinion is that he shouldn't have that gun.
That's right. That's right. That's why we're keeping it here. And when he comes to visit... Well, guess what? Grandpa and he are going to be out over at the Corral with the gun safety, and once he gets proficient enough, we've got targets out here in the backyard. And
well, what if they stop letting him come over to the house?
They're not going to do that because you don't know my daughter and this guy she married. We are basically the only babysitters they've got because they're always going someplace or doing something. And if they don't let him come over and visit us, then that can mean only one thing, that they're going to be staying home more, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, here's the point. You got this child a gun, and you got him signed up for gun safety, and he's over with you guys this weekend, right?
He was with us for the entire week because his mother's taking a training course, a nursing course in New Mexico. And the guy that my daughter married, the father, is in Nevada. He's on a job. He builds mining equipment, and they've gotten a contract over there.
All right, so they're both out of town, and so they've got this little boy with you. And you now have this child, and they know that you have this gun that you bought him.
That you better believe it. You better believe it. Let me tell you what's going on, just so you know. This world that we live in is becoming a madhouse. And the sooner we get these young people trained to utilize and brandish a weapon properly, and one of the ways that you make this, you can make it fun for the kids, is you teach them those tricks that they see, but you got to get them ready.
And do you really think there's going to be 7-year-old kids with guns out there?
I'm telling you, if I have my way, the kids will know how to use a gun, yes, sir.
And no, but I'm talking about, do you really think the kids will be out there in the world at the age of 7 or 8 holding a pistol in their hand?
If they know gun safety, that may be the only thing, mister, standing between you and your grave. Is a well-trained 8-year-old boy. And let me tell you something.
I can't even imagine a world like that.
We're living in that world, mister. We're living in it right now. And let me tell you something else. You know, this has been a very tough day for me, looking at all the news. But the kids are going to want to learn the fun things about a gun. And you make it fun for them. And I mentioned you can teach them the tricks where they spin the gun around like the Wild West did. You can teach them how to spin it up near their ear, and they become, it's fun for them, you know. And
do we need to make it fun for this? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the gun is a deadly thing. Do you really have to make things more fun for the kid?
What it does is it convinces the adults that, you know, this is not just a gun. It's something that the child can learn to use as a form of entertainment if you want. I'm not talking about a loaded gun now, but you can go out onto the football field at halftime, as I did when I was a young boy growing up. And I remember I was part of Ringtail Bob. If you remember Ringtail Goose and Bob, and they're 6-shooters, and it was a bunch of us. We were 10 years old at the time, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and big 10-gallon hats, and we did it at halftime shows, and we twirled the guns, and we did it to the what was the song? I'm an old cowhand from the Rio Grande. I'm an old cowhand. I'm on the Rio Grande, and you spin the gun. And
you guys did this at halftime at football shows.
Football shows.
I mean, you did it a halftime show at a football game?
Yeah, that's what we did. We'd come out. I don't know what you meant by a football show.
The halftime show is what I meant.
Yeah, we went out, and they had this song playing. I'm an old cowhand on the Rio Grande, and we came out wearing the big fur chaps and the oversized 10-gallon hat, and we spun the gun. And it was a lot of fun, and it also taught us gun safety. And let me tell you, there were times in Korea when my mind, and I don't know how we made it out, there were times when I thought I'd breathe my last. And I wouldn't make it back to the States or to my wife or to anybody. And all I could think about was standing on that football field with that big hat on. And the song, I'm an old cowhand and I'm on the Rio Grande. and I've got a giant hat. And when I felt myself in the giant hat, boy, a lot of Chinese died. And I know I'm getting emotional.
Well. All right. I'm going to take a break here, okay?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd Bonafide with us here, who's given his 8-year-old son a 22 for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL. I mean, how young is too young? A 22 pistol for his birthday. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And by the way, folks, I am not a gun control nut. I believe in the right to bear arms. I believe in the use of guns as a defensive weapon. I believe in all of it. Believe me when I tell you. But how young is too young when it comes to giving a gift of a gun to a child? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us, who's a Korean War veteran, owner of the, at one time owner of one of the biggest heating and plumbing businesses in Alhambra, California. But we're talking tonight more along the lines of family and especially kids, and we're talking guns. And there's a reason, obviously, what with, shall we say, recent events. Lloyd, is that what got you thinking about this?
I got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about this, Phil, a lot longer before than... See, I don't have to... I don't need a news event to wake me up. I'm very familiar, having been in a war, as I was in Korea, I'm very familiar with the necessity of firearms in private life to protect the home. So I didn't have to have any news story to wake me up. I've got a grandson that I love very much. I've got a daughter that I love very much. My wife, and this is our family, and I would hate like hell, and I would feel guilty until the day I died if something happened to my grandson, and I knew that I could have put a training and a weapon in his hand. If that young man had been trained, I would have been able to do that. So I gave him that gun.
Now, what are you going to say to people who are gun advocates, who think that the ownership of guns should be protected? I mean, I recognize there's a lot of so-called gun control people. I don't think they even know what it is they're talking about.
Well, you said that right. They don't know what they're talking about.
All right, but I mean, let's just leave that aside for a moment. What do you say to people who say that the kid is too young and that the kid is, this is going to be dangerous?
No, you're never too young to learn to operate a weapon safely. And I get a little tired of people saying that you got to, you know, that it's too unsafe and this and that. I can train that boy in the backyard. Hold on for a minute. Come here for a minute. Chad, come here. You know, let me tell you something else, Phil. Chad, come here, son. I'm going to take you. I've got a target set up in the backyard here, Phil. Well, let's go outside. And I want to mention something to you, Phil, if I could, because it's a very important piece of information here. My grandson, who I love very much, was named by, and this is one of the reasons why I've always had a problem with his mother and particularly the guy that my daughter married, because they gave him a name that I just think is the, if ever there was a name that, boy, I can't believe I'm getting emotional about it. If ever there was a name that tipped a young man off as, if I can use the word, as a douchebag, this is the name that they put on my son. And it so upsets me. All right.
What name?
Chad. I told you his name is Chad. Come on, Chad.
And you think that's the name of a douchebag?
That, yes, sir, I do. All right, we've got a little bit of a, we've got a swollen stream here tonight, Phil. You can hear it running next to the range here. Come here, son.
Now, what are you going to do?
Well, first of all, let me explain. I'm going to do something that you don't have any business directing, Mr. Henry. We're going to do a little target practice. All right, you see over there?
Mm-hmm.
And that is your target. Cut. Put it down! Put it down!
Okay, I heard more than one shot.
Yep. What are you doing?
I didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know. You better believe you didn't know. Yep. God almighty, you don't fire it more than once.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yes, you know, because Grandpa taught you how. Damn!
You're going to get somebody killed out there.
What's that?
You're going to get somebody killed.
Oh, shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up. I got you on the air right now.
Hold on. Chad, your mother gave you the name. Chad, you know that you have the name of a douchebag, don't you? Grandpa's going to fix that, but you can't kill Grandpa before you... All right.
Well, that's a heck of a way to talk to a kid, man.
Hey, why don't you shut up, okay, talk show host? Let me do my business here. All right, there's the target. See? Downrange. You see, you got it locked on?
I think so.
Well, don't think. You see it? Here, let me go out and... Oh, come on! What are you doing? Don't fire when I'm going to walk in front of you.
Boy, you got some gun safety going there, don't you?
Hold your horses. What are you doing, Chad?
Well, you're going to need...
You don't fire the gun when Grandpa was walking down range to straighten the target.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez. You want to kill me? Is that what you're trying to do? Kill me.
No, Grandpa.
So that's some real good gun safety there, Lloyd.
Ease it back, will you?
And by the way, making the kid feel even better about himself by saying he's got the name of a douchebag.
Oh, Phil, everybody knows that the name Chad... is the all-time champion douchebag name. So don't start in with me on that. Don't even go, you know, I'm very clear. I'm locked in on that one.
Oh, good.
All right, now, here we go, Chad. Remember to, you see? Now, when you put your finger on the clutch, don't do it yet!
What?
This kid is firing.
Hold on for a minute. Don't quit talking, will you? You know, Chad, don't do that until Grandpa takes his hand off of the... See? Hey, what the hell are you doing? Oh, why don't you mind your own business? Haven't thought about the ride. What's that? I haven't thought about the ride. So I got the side of your garage. So what? It needs a paint job anyway. Oh, you're going to have the fire, huh? Yeah, that's right.
Boy, you're going to have the cops there in a minute. You know that?
Oh, why don't you... Just listen and learn, okay? I'm going to call myself. Yeah, now you gave the guy an idea. You go ahead and call the cops, Raleigh. What? You go ahead and call the cops. I don't care. All right, Chad. Let's go out with a bang, okay? Now, you see down there? You see that? No. God! You think that's funny, huh?
That kid is not listening to you. Get that gun out of his hands.
Down here in the garage! Yeah, that's right. Paint your garage and then it won't give... Oh, name? Yeah, that'd be...
You got a neighbor that's upset with you, and you got a kid that's firing a gun way too many times here, and it doesn't sound to me like you got any kind of a control over this kid. What are you doing, man?
What are you doing? No, that's not the... What do you want?
I'm going to take a break.
You take your break there, talk show host. Hey, Raleigh.
You know, you're a very smart-ass guy, Lloyd. You know that?
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, Raleigh, if you paint that garage, it won't look any... Right there, it looks like a barn. Why do you think I'm shooting at it? You look great, man. I'm not painting for anything. Here, dance. Yeah.
I'm calling the cops.
Oh, you're not...
877-877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, dance for me.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back here with Lloyd Bonafide, and we're talking here about gun safety, and I just heard an example of gun safety that is not an example at all, Lloyd, and you know as well as I do that what I heard there is it would get you arrested, and you're very, very lucky there's no police out there tonight.
Well, I thought you were going to call the police. That's what you were saying.
I should have. Multiple shots? You got a neighbor? You're putting bullets into this guy's garage?
That is where I'm teaching that boy, my grandson, my only grandson. After that child, I don't have anybody else. My daughter, this guy she married, and my grandson. That's it. And you understand what that means to a man when he's lived his life? I've been to war. I got married. I had a daughter. I raised her the best way I could, built a business. And now, you know, here comes my boy, my grandson, and I have to swallow the bitter pill. That child is named, and you know that his grandmother and I, we raced to the hospital because I knew what she was going to do. And I raced to the hospital, and I begged her, I said, and she said, the deed is done, as she laid there in bed. And, you know, I should have more mercy on my son-in-law. I call him the man that my daughter married, but you were talking to a guy last hour about how big the rear end gets. My son-in-law, the guy my daughter married, the poor man, he suffers with it every day.
And suffers with what?
Three guesses. You were talking last...
Oh, what a childish thing to say. What a childish thing to say about your own daughter.
I love my daughter very much. But as she lay there, and I knew as she lay there, with every second that she lay there, her ass was getting bigger, and I knew what that man that she married was going to have to deal with. I said, will you give me at least one thing? She's laying there, understand? Laying there waiting for her ass to get bigger, and I said, give me your father one thing. One thing I can take to my grave. A grandson with a name like a man, you know, a man's name. God.
I can't believe you get twisted up thinking about stuff like that. You just had the kid in the backyard with a gun going off.
He was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. That guy, Raleigh, I've known that guy as long as I've been in this neighborhood. We're the two oldest guys on the street, and all he knows how to do is come out of his house at night and yell at people. He goes out at night yelling at people. There's no one there. And the only other guy on the street that was as old as us was Carruthers, and you know what happened to him.
That's the guy that committed suicide.
You better believe it.
Yeah, and I know why he did, too.
Hey. You watch that.
I know why that man killed himself. So you watch it.
Mr. Hendry, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't say anything to my son, not my grandson.
You know, that's between you and your family, so just you watch the way you talk to me.
All I'm trying to tell you is that I raced to the hospital the morning that sweet boy was born, and I begged my daughter, I said, don't name him Chad. You name him Chad, and you've given him a douchebag's name. I told her that. I said it straight up. I looked her in the eye, and she said, the deed is done. She showed me the hospital registration card, and then she collapsed into a snoring nap. And I mean, she rolled over, and she started with that big rear end, started cutting logs. You hadn't heard it. It was like a freight train going south. And I stood there. I stood there in that hotel, in that hospital room, I mean, with the guy she married staring at me like he was about 600 yards of stupid. And I looked between him and the card and my snoring big-ass daughter, and I saw the name on the card, Chad. Chad Plimpton.
I never did know your daughter's married name. That's her name?
Yeah, Plimpton. You ready for that? She's married to a guy named Paul. My daughter's name is Patricia. We call her Patty. I said, the least you can do is have the decency is not named my grandson that starts with a P. And she goes, don't worry about it. I gave him the name Chad.
Paul Plimpton and Patty Plimpton.
Yeah. Go ahead and laugh it up, buddy man.
Sorry, I mean...
Hey! You know, I've got to live with that every day of my life. I've got to get out of bed and look at a grandson and say, hi, Chad.
Where did you ever get the idea that the name Chad was a douchebag's name?
Oh, are you kidding? Where you been? Where have you been?
I don't know. I what do I know, man?
You look up douchebag, and there's a guy named Chad next to, I don't know. Stands to reason, don't it?
No, it does not stand to reason. I don't have any idea where you get these. You know, it's kind of like saying the name Todd belongs to gay guys. I guess we don't have much to, you know, keep us occupied these days. We come up with these stupid things. I will just tell you this much, Lloyd. Whether the child's name is Chad or whether or not your son-in-law is an idiot or your daughter's ass is too big, or I don't know. But having that boy standing out back tonight with you and those rounds going off, it sounded like they were going off every which direction, into the ground, up in the air, into this guy's garage.
You leave my grandson to me. And
yeah, that's fine, okay? And, you know, this world has been built on the graves of some people and their children who thought they knew best.
Well, what are you trying to say? Come on, I'm a war veteran. I've been around weapons.
That doesn't sound like it to me, the way you had that kid out there tonight. And he's got him hearing these guns. What do you mean you're firing into some guy's garage?
That guy, Ray, that guy would be unhappy if I wasn't putting bullet holes in his house. He'd be miserable if somebody wasn't shooting at him. Him and Steelworth, the only two guys on the block that ever were in WW2, and they both lorded over me like they're big shots.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know the intrigues that go on in your neighborhood, okay?
Well, you know, well...
Yeah, except for Carruthers, I know that.
I'm begging you not to say anything to the boy.
I won't say anything, but I'm just telling you, you have to be very careful. And as far as arming kids, I don't know, man. I don't think that's the answer.
Oh, yeah, man? Okay, man. Like, wow, daddy-o.
And I'm not talking beatnik talk. Boy, Lloyd, get into the 21st century or just, you know.
Oh, what? Go ahead and tie off my air hose? Yeah. Go ahead and unplug the machine. I don't want to be talked to like I'm a beatnik. I've told you that.
I'm not talking. I'm just telling you. If you'll listen to me, that I believe that's an irresponsible way to teach a kid weapon safety, and I think he needs to be older. That's just my opinion. I know you don't think much of that, and I know that it's more important for me to hear you about the kid having a douchebag's name, and your friend Raleigh, and Carruthers was asking for it, and your daughter's ass is too big, and your son-in-law is about 600 yards of stupid, even though you do empathize with him when it comes to your daughter's big ass.
Well, you just about covered it all. Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much, Lloyd. Good luck to you.
Well, now, wait a second. You said that I was going to get the whole hour.
Well, I'm all done with you, man. I don't need to stay on the line and wait for you to kill yourself or your son with that gun.
How dare you?
Okay, that... You're
not going to call back and give me a rash or a crap.
Well, that's tough, because I don't want him on the air again. If you see him calling, you know what line he's calling on, man. Don't answer the line.
What do you mean, what line he's calling in on, man? They're all different kind of line.
Don't you know what line he's calling in on?
No, I don't know what line he's calling. You can call the juice maker line. Come on a talk show.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, then you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. So there is Lloyd Bonafide and the story of his 7-year-old son learning gun safety. Sounded pretty safe to me. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and of course we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video of the show as well as the archives. We're going to come back with our news and information and news and information hour and other stuff, other news, other big news, other small news, other little news, other big news. It's a weird, wacky, ugly world today. We'll talk about it on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our
bitch. I'm not going to call your
Phil Hendry Show.
Call you back, I got better things to do.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So next Monday, we're going to be working on the TV show NTSF-SD-SUV. That's the National Terrorism Strike Force, I think, San Diego SUV. It's a funny show on Adult Swim, and it stars Paul Scheer and Kate Mulgrew and Brandon Johnson and a bunch of other really funny people. And I get to work on that show a week from today. And we'll let you guys know the air date on that. And I think there's the episodes of New Girl are coming up.
Yeah, you didn't go to no rap party in that.
Yeah, okay. I missed the rap party. It was a rainy night. There was a lot going on. And I'm just saying that, you know, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, probably gonna like, you know, rebound back on. Gonna be bad, man.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, people will be angry.
What? No, they won't. All right, anyway, so that's happening a week from today. Next hour, Bobby Dooley joins us to talk about the just completed lottery. Here's a story that really, I think, is just, if there's nothing to this, and I'm tempted to believe there's nothing to it, this is about as low as it gets. Now, O.J. Simpson is in prison for that, basically that strong arm stick up he did in that hotel room there in Las Vegas and all the other ancillary crimes, felony and misdemeanor that were committed in the wake and contemporaneous. The murders of Nicole Simpson and Ronald Goldman remain ostensibly unsolved. However, if you are of like mind with me, you believe he committed those murders. That having been said, however, let me say this. There's a Texas private investigator by the name of William Deere. This guy claims he spent 18 years probing the murders, and he explains that Jason Simpson, who at the time was 24 years of age, who is now a man in his 40s, Jason Simpson, who was the son of O.J. Simpson, is the son of O.J. Simpson, obviously by another mother. He was not interviewed by police, nor was his DNA compared to evidence, even though he, quote, had intermittent rage disorder. Here's a guy that has struggled with biochemical issues of the brain, like a great many people do throughout his life. He's had run-ins with employers. And he's had his fair share of problems. But the man has never been sent to prison for murder. He's never been charged with murder before. He's just a guy. And you can imagine, I would think, that it hasn't been an easy life for the kid. I mean, he's 41 now, I believe, 41 or 42. But at the time, here's a father, a big celebrity. His dad is married to another woman now. There's a couple of more kids. And where is his life exactly? Where does he fit into all of this? He was studying to be a chef at one point. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to give him excuses. But then again, he doesn't need any. He hasn't been charged with any crime. He hasn't been convicted with any serious crime. He's a guy out there struggling in the world, but he's no problem to you or to me. And he sure as hell isn't any problem to Mr. William Deere, the Texas PI, nor was he mentioned at all in this investigation. And yet this guy's written a book. Written a book! Well!
Yeah, that's always do it, man. You write a book, it's got to be true.
You said that.
I write a book about a guy, man. He'll sue that guy.
Well, I'm getting to that. Because Jason Simpson, wherever you are tonight, man, I would consider this very seriously. This guy has got the guts to write a book, and he says, this is what this guy William Deere says. Listen to this. Listen to this. He is absolutely, absolutely convinced Jason Simpson committed this crime. This jackass went on to say, and I couldn't believe my eyes when I read it because it seemed like something some clown would say. He went on to say that he's a member of the Policeman's Hall of Fame or some jazz like that. I don't know what that means. And so therefore, why, you know, he's a really good cop. He's a private investigator is what he is. I don't know if he has any law enforcement experience at all. But he went on to say in the article that I read, oh, yeah, this is absolutely, baby, this one's in the bank. This one is, this kid's guilty. And all I could think about was, God, would I like to be the lawyer dragging this slob into court and filing a civil claim?
But you gotta sue him for it.
Slander? Libel?
Yeah, but his reputation ain't the best.
But you're talking about Jason Simpson's reputation not being the best, and Robert makes a good point. In order to sue someone for defamation, you have to at first prove you have a reputation that can be defamed. Meaning, if you're already known as a scumbag, for instance, that slob down there in East Memphis, West Memphis, Arkansas, the West Memphis 3 case involved on the peripheral one of the fathers, one of the stepfathers. I forget this guy's name now. What the hell was that guy's name? Hobbs. Terry Hobbs. Terry Hobbs sued Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks because she had been at a rally in Arkansas, and she was on the steps of, I believe, one of the courthouses there saying, basically repeating what had already been in the news, that Terry Hobbs had not been interviewed by police, that Terry Hobbs' statements were inconsistent, that Terry Hobbs, they found DNA at the crime scene that matched his. They didn't find any DNA of these three kids that they said did it, these three, quote, devil worshipers, end quote. None of that. They found the DNA of this guy. And she basically was repeating this and saying, you know, justice for the West Memphis Three. He turns around and sues this woman for libel and defamation. It didn't even make it to court. It didn't even make it to court.
But judge say,
basically, the court ruled, are you kidding? You got no reputation that can be defamed, man. All of this stuff has been in the news already. All this stuff's being talked about. The cops have talked about this. Other people are on the record talking about this. This is not defamation. This woman is just, she simply repeated what she had read in the newspaper already. Your reputation already sucks. This guy, among other things, was charged with or suspected of, had talked to the police about sexually abusing his own daughter, beating up his wife, and there was a matter of a fight that took place at their house. You talk about white trash. This is, man, there ain't nothing like this. You know, you want it, you got it. There was a fight that took place at his house between himself, his brother-in-law, and his father-in-law, in which he pulled out a gun loaded with hollow point bullets and shot his brother-in-law in the stomach. And his brother-in-law died 10 years later from complications from that wound.
Man.
Yeah. So you got no reputation that can be maligned, Mr. Hobbs. You're a slob already. Now, this young man, Jason Simpson, on the other hand, while you have a kid who's had issues with anger, and he's had issues with employers, and he's had these things, he ain't never been accused of murder in his life. He's not a murderer. He's never been to prison for murder, manslaughter, anything like that. He's an angry kid, and you take that and you turn that into a guy who's guilty of murder? I would sue this guy dear for everything that he has and everything that his estate will earn, his family, his descendants, at least well into the 22nd century.
Are you kidding me?
I'm exaggerating, but I'd make sure that he was sending my client a paycheck for the rest of his life and then maybe a few more lifetimes. But that's what's going on today in the news. It was his son According to this guy, Texas PI William Deere, who spent 18 years probing the murders, and he explains that Jason Simpson wasn't interviewed by the police, nor was his DNA compared to evidence, even though he had intermittent rage disorder and was on probation when the slayings occurred. He had intermittent rage disorder and was on probation. I think he was on probation for some kind of a fight or something, maybe. I'm not really sure, but it was nothing that even approaches the level of murder or armed robbery. It was nothing like that. The guy that gets into fights, let's put it that way. And, you know, here's the other thing, man. The history of the United States jurisprudence in this country, and probably in other countries, is filled with people who had anger problems wrongfully accused of crimes. That's an old one. Where you look around and you look for the most likely, the most vulnerable guy is going to be the guy who's had the anger issues. He's going to be the guy who maybe slapped some people around. We go for him, man. They'll bite at him. Oh, yeah, he's done, man. They'll stick a guy, put a guy's ass in prison for that. That's what they're going to try to do with this kid. We'll be back with more in our News and Information Hour, as well as Bobby Dooley on the lottery, the after effects of the lottery, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Andrew.